curiosity killed the cat but saved the salesperson. Welcome back to the Stronger Business Podcast, where we are not intimidated by sales, and you should not be either. Please welcome Macy and Kat of Guide Culture as they discuss the importance of incorporating leadership into your sales process. And with that, we will turn it over to Josh and Chad.
Welcome back to the Stronger Business Studio. Man, we got an exciting podcast today. We got four of us on. We are going to learn about everything that's important in business, in life, in leadership. And it's going to be around sales and how that applies to everything we do. We got Macy and Kat with us today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Y'all are like the sales experts. And automatically people are like, oh my God, sales. I'm not a salesman. But you are. And y'all do such an awesome job on social and Guide Culture, everything you teach and present out there on how important sales is, from running your business to leading your team to having your kid go to bed at night. Like, it's all part of what we do. So tell us a little bit about what you believe and why you're so passionate about teaching people about the side of sales that we all need to learn.
Pop off, Maymay.
Oh my gosh. Our mission is to make sales cool again, because Chad, you're incredibly correct, is that people think of sales and they, you know, tense up, or they think, oh, it equals money. Oh, it equals this. And they don't want to do it and they feel nervous. And all sales is helping people take action and helping them do it with excitement and towards a vision and towards a bigger mission. And so when you have the skills to really draw out the right information and help connect your kind of solution and what you know is best for them, that makes them excited to do it, that's a sales job. I know that one thing I love to talk about is how my dad raised me in a sales cultured home. I would have never understood that until now that I'm in sales. And I look back and I think about all the times that I like wanted to do things that obviously weren't good for me, like go to parties and, you know, bonfires or whatever. And instead of him saying, no, do what I say, I'm your dad, he was like, hey, Macy, like, tell me a little bit more. Tell me a little bit more about who's going to be there, why you want to do that, what's important to you. And over, you know, periods of time and different conversations in the car, coming home from school, he helped me be excited to make the decision on my own that I want to do the right thing. I want to be good is cool. I want to, you know, choose the thing that's best for the future Macy, not the Macy right now. And what I now know is that was a sales job, is helping me decide on my own the decisions that I want to make for the future Macy. So when you have sales skills, of course, for your business, like, that's just obvious, but for all parts of your life, like, everything in life, and I don't like to overstate, but just about everything in life is better.
That makes sense. And so from your description, sales isn't trying to convince somebody to do something that you mm-hmm. want them to do. It's, I guess,
right,
helping them determine the right answers and ask the right questions to figure out what they need or what they want, so yeah, that they can make what's best for them.
Yeah, honestly, if you really just flipped really, really simply, instead of I am selling to someone, just flipped it to I'm helping them buy, I think most people would actually get really jazzed about that, yeah, you know, just helping them make a purchase, because people love to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love to whip out their card, but people don't love to feel sold, like they're pushing it on someone.
That's interesting. Yeah, because you're right. So people don't like being sold.
Right. But
most people, like, you know, they don't like retail therapy for a reason, right? They like going and spending money, makes them feel good in some way.
And mm-hmm. I like people that help me do that. Like, yeah, help me pick something out, or that's help right. me. Oh, you're interested in this. Check out this. I got this back here.
Yeah. And so it's that's interesting. Right. So even in with that, right, retail therapy, again, people going for I'm just going to go and shop. I want to go buy things. But those same people, if somebody walks up to them and says, can I help you with something? They're like, no, I'm just looking around, because mm-hmm. they're like, this fear of being sold. Right. So yeah, I love that you're changing the mindset from, like, hey, you're not trying to sell somebody on something. You're just trying to help them buy something, help them make a mm-hmm. purchase that they probably need or want to make anyway. So that's awesome. So I want to hone in real quick for you guys on a little bit about what you do professionally with Guide Culture. And mm-hmm. I got a story for you on this. Macy, I may have told you this before. So you guys spoke at Stronger Business Summit 2020.
The OG. Event.
I know, seriously, they are original. Y'all spoke at that. And when your names got put out there for like podcast and for the summit, I had friends of mine from Colorado. They're like, hey, you know Macy and Kat? And I was like, yeah, I mean, they're going to come speak for us. And they were like so impressed with what you guys have done with guide culture. And they were just, it was funny because I was like, oh, I didn't know how famous that you guys were. I mean, I know you look famous. I didn't know that you were really famous. And so can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do with guide culture and how you help people?
Yeah. So guide culture is a sales training. We call it a sales training, and we don't try to lean too hard into it's life training, because we talked about, you know, it's getting kids in bed. It's keeping your teenage daughter from the bonfire, of course. So there's a lot to it. But at the end of the day, we teach people sales skills that transfer into these life skills. And we do it through an 8-week program. And people walk away, you know, gosh, with just these amazing results of feeling encouraged in their life. One of the more recent things we've heard, because so many parents are homeschooling now, is just the frictionless environment, this happy environment where a mom can actually teach her kid math in addition to the business she runs. She's like, oh, the business is great. Like, my sales are great, but my homeschooling is going really, really well because of these skills. So that's what we do. We teach individuals. Sometimes we teach groups, but a lot of times we teach individuals who really just want to grow in their sales and leadership, how to apply these skills to their business and their life.
So do y'all cover, is it the just broad spectrum of business in general, or is it specific to online business or retail business or coaching business? What do y'all focus on, any certain piece or industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and it's so interesting about like a niche, like everyone tells you to niche down and like pick somebody, you know? And what I've learned is that when you teach something kind of general, like if you were to teach business strategy, like a niche is very helpful, right? So like a business strategy for, I don't know, interior designers. Mm-hmm. But when you teach a very specific skill, most niches need it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does. The specific sales skill can be applied in just about anything that you do. I mean, we've had dentists take it. We've had, you know, optometrists. We've had people that own like painting companies. We've had people who sell hearing aids, teachers. I mean, our head of coaches who leads our coaches team, she came to be a better mom. And what's so cool is that the results, they just overflow into any industry, because you're in the people business. Ultimately, whatever you do, you are in the people business first. Whatever you happen to do is just like whatever you happen to do second. So when you can master the art of people, whatever you happen to do inside your business is just going to get better. It's just the cause and effect principle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Your question, like what part kind of sales do you teach? Honestly, what we are obsessed with is helping people have powerful conversations, powerful, controlled conversations, like what Macy described with her dad, who is the creator of our material. Loy Day is the creator, and the way that he just really managed that conversation over the time, right? It's like it's a process to help someone make a purchase, not just that one time pitch. Mm-hmm. We can pop off on pitches in just a little bit, but it's really about helping people have powerful conversations that, you know, it could transfer into your Instagram content, and it should, if that's how you want to market powerfully. So that's what we do. We don't really give people, you know, if we can give someone a spreadsheet to help them stay organized, we're happy to do that. But at the end of the day, we don't teach like a quote sales, like strategy. We teach sales skills.
What Kat is saying is like, when it comes to Instagram and webinars and, you know, all these strategies, the people who watch your Instagram and the people who watch a webinar are just that, they're people. That's all they are. They're Chad and they're Josh sitting on the other side of the webinar watching. And so when you can master having great conversations with one person, you can transfer that in on a massive scale.
I love that. What you said, Kat, with helping people have powerful conversations. Mm-hmm. So, and we see this a lot. Number one, what you said too, Macy, with having like, hey, this is a skill set that applies across really any niche, because we're not talking about necessarily selling someone a product. We're talking about influencing someone toward making a good decision. You know, I don't think that Jesus is a product, but I think that every pastor that gets up and talk, like their one Amen. Of their desires is going to be to influence people toward making better decisions. So Chad falls in that with what he does professionally in the accounting world, is like, he's got very, you know, specific skill set and principles that he teaches, but man, he can teach it everywhere, because every business,
that's right,
they're not making money, they got a problem, right? So I love what you guys are talking about with that, being able to teach these skill sets that are applicable, even if you don't have a job, even just in communicating with your spouse, right? Communicating with your child, is being able to help, you know, have a powerful conversation that helps somebody move toward a decision that they need to make. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. Now, you mentioned too, Macy, with your dad being the one who kind of orchestrated and created a lot of the training that you guys do. Mm-hmm. I know he probably didn't sit out, like he probably didn't get visited by the angel Gabriel and giving golden tablets. I'm sure that he plugged in to some leaders as well. And like he learned sales skills somewhere and was able to say, hey, you know what, for Lloyd Day, this is how I take these principles I've learned and create a system that I believe works for me and that would work for others. So who are some of the people that your dad would have said, hey, these are, man, I loved, if it was Zig Ziglar or Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. who did he pattern some of his information from?
Man, that's a great question. He would tell you, so when he, you know, got out of school, he was originally a like football coach at a high school. And he will tell you that he would sit, you know, in his office with the cement walls and just feel like it was caving in on him. Like he was in jail and had to get out. I'm sure you guys probably know that feeling too.
Every meeting I have with Chad, it feels exactly like that. So I totally understand what your dad
said. And so he started just like play with different things. Like he was a photographer. He would hang blinds, you know, at night in big companies. And he learned sales from a few different people. I think Zig Ziglar was one of them. I think he enjoyed Dale Carnegie. I think he, who is the other ones, Kat? I know Zig is like a major, major one.
Yeah. I mean, Dennis Whately is a
Dennis
huge
Whately. Woman. Dennis Whately. Yeah. But one of the things that he realized is that like the sales culture is what matters in any business. And that is where everybody knows how to talk to people and help them make decisions and honestly like handle their objections. Right. So anybody who's in, even if you're a customer service, all you're doing is handling objections and keeping people on your team and keeping them like major fans of the business. Right. And so when he started his insurance agency, he had a mission of like, everybody is going to know sales, period. This is going to be a sales culture. And so every year he would go through a season during lunch, he would teach sales. And over the 30 years of teaching sales, he would just build the sales training a little bit at a time, and just add things here and there. He'd listen to something and read something and just keep adding. And ultimately, after 30 years, had this like massive training that he didn't even know was a training, right? It was just an Excel sheet. And so pulling it together and taking it to market has been really cool to see how timeless it really is. I think most people would think of sales skills and they would think, excuse me, I'm not going to door to door. No one does that anymore. This is lame, which is exactly what I thought. And it's really, really cool and encouraging to see that this one skill can overflow for the rest of time because it is foundational. And that's what foundational things are. And that's what principles are, is they are never changing. And so to master something that's never changing, it just makes everything so predictable and just gives you that foundation, honestly, to build everything on.
So do you think we have such a negative connotation with sales or salespeople or wanting to learn sales, but is there just that many bad salespeople out there that it's just like, oh my God, like why do we all feel that way? Whether you're an employee, a business owner, a 10-year-old or a 70-year-old, you're like, I hate salesmen.
You know, like,
Kat
is so good at helping people have a therapy moment about sales and just a come to Jesus moment. So Kat, will you lead us in that?
It's funny you say that. So one of the therapy moments, you know, it's like we've all had a weird experience, right? In one of the times at our in-person training, we had a therapy moment and I said, everyone just share, just have your moment. And one person actually was at a car dealership and I think they even bought the car. Okay. But the salesperson like followed them home and like, it was just weird. Like it was just uncomfortable. And so she's like, why? And so with that said, I don't know if y'all, you know about this whole supply and demand issue that's happening, but I am about to have a baby and we've got a minivan, and minivans are with most cars are like short supply. So my husband is calling up north to get a vehicle, and there's two completely different experiences with salespeople that I think really shine a light on why. Like, what is the real issue? Okay. So, you know, there's this one experience where the guy was like, oh, well, you're not going to get a better price than us. Right. So he had like this attitude. Okay. And then whenever we were like, okay, well, we'll just, you know, get that van, never heard back. Right. No follow through, no follow up. It's just hard to get the answers that you need with, of course, the attitude. And then you deal with this other salesperson who we ended up buying the van from, who was attentive, caring, wanted to know, you know, did we get everything in the van that we needed? What's the timeline? What's the reason? And it just felt like this one guy understood us and this other guy just like wanted to sell us, you know? And feeling understood is what I think a lot of people don't understand is the salesperson's job, is to understand the person. Gosh, if you're curious and you can just listen, then that makes you an amazing salesperson. But if you're just trying to make a transaction, then I think that's why people don't want to feel that. They don't want to feel like a transaction, you know?
So if we are giving our audience a tip right now on how to avoid being that salesperson that everybody loves to hate, is it around listening? Is it just listen first and you're not trying to close the deal in a minute, or you're not trying to close the deal today? Is that the best advice to start out with from transforming into being a better salesperson?
One of my favorite quotes, I came across it online, and it said, "Curiosity killed the cat, but it saved the salesperson." And genuine curiosity looks like caring, you know? Oh, you know, what made you want to open an Airbnb? What's the story? What's your wife doing? Does she have a design background? Like, just being curious, right? Because how can I even help you if I don't know who you are and where you're wanting to go, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Our leadership team at the company, Chad and I, together, we've been going through how to win friends and influence people recently.
So good.
And obviously, you know, the principle is there that it could be a sales book. It is leading people toward making decisions. But the take a genuine interest, that principle. And again, a lot of things that I would even say, like, hey, there's some sales tactics that people can use, but oftentimes they don't work because the person using the tactic isn't genuinely caring for the other person. Like, they're not listening. Right. They're just mentally thinking like, okay, if I can act like I'm listening to Kat right now, then I can get her closer to selling her this product I got to sell because, you know, baby needs food, whatever it is. Right. And so I see so many times where, like, mentally, and I know you guys to get into this, but it's the mindset piece of this stuff.
For sure.
Somebody's like, I need this transaction, all the tactics in the world. Like, not to say you won't sell somebody.
Oh my gosh.
People probably won't sell them. You can like feeling good.
Male desperation.
Yeah. I feel like. And you kind of leave it. Like, yeah. I bought this thing.
We call that, we call that blood in the water. You can definitely smell the blood in the water for sure. And having the right heart is so important. You know, Kat mentioned controlling conversations. Think about who's in control of a conversation. Is it the person talking or is it the person listening?
Ooh, that's good.
It's the person listening, because the person listening has the information. And when they have the right information, then they know how to control the conversation that makes sense for that person. And so it's more than just listening. It's drawing out the right information so that you can control the conversation. This is like one of the things you learn in guide culture is information gathering. It's the way, if you think about a funnel, like, you can go from, like, you know, casual data to the right information, and being able to do that quickly and effectively, that is the skill right there. That is the skill, because you know your product, like, you know how it can help people, but when you have deep understanding of someone and then to take your product and connect it, that's the major key. And it takes practice, it takes reps, but that is major.
Okay. So as a business owner, sorry, Kat, I totally cut you off.
Go.
I want you to do it like 45 more times, Kat. So don't be offended by it. Just know it's going
to
happen.
I get really excited about what I got to say, which is contrary to everything you're
teaching. No, Chad, I want you to go.
I need to listen better. I need to listen and learn from what y'all are telling me. All right. So, Macy, I get exactly how to do that and what you're describing one-on-one with one customer.
Yeah.
But how do you do that on a scalable level with 4,000 customers or 10,000 customers?
Yeah.
How do you take that understanding and apply it to scale?
Yeah.
Choked up like I can't even say it. I don't even understand.
He's so emotional right now.
It's a good question.
It's such a good question. You know what's really good news, Chad, is that specificity is more universal. So let me give you an example. You can say, you know, maybe you feel exhausted. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. And, you know, those are good words. They're fine, but they're general. They're general. But let's say, Chad, you told me that when you get home, you can't even, like, all you do is snap at your wife. You snap at your family. You have to go in your room and shut the door. I know this because of what you told me, because I was able to draw out the right information and then taking exactly what you told me specifically and talking about it publicly, because people, even if they don't have a wife, they know exactly what it's like to snap at somebody because they've had a day. They know exactly mm-hmm. what it's like to literally be up to here with people and not being able to like enjoy the things that matter the most. They can relate to specificity more than they can the word exhausted. It just goes in mm-hmm. one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. And so that's why these individual conversations, and this is why Kat and I live in DMs. We live in them. People tell you all the time, like, you can't scale that. It is not true, because the one person that tells me one specific thing, I can make a whole podcast on that. I can make a whole webinar on that. I can do a whole Instagram story, a reel, and be able to cast a net on the audience and pull in all the Chads, because if one Chad told me one thing, there's at least 50 more Chads that are experiencing something and can relate.
That's 100%. Brilliant. That totally makes sense. Yeah.
And this actually happened for us, a specific example that the audience could take away from. We had a student come to an in-person event, go home, apply the skills. And she was like, "Macy, you're not going to believe this. I just had 3 sales calls back to back." She had a $10,000 mastermind program. She said, "I sold all 3 back to back in 90 minutes. And we're like, "Oh my gosh." Like, okay. So months pass and we want to do a webinar. And we're like, you know, when you're in your own business, you're in your own head, everything feels like, "Oh, but I want to say the general thing. I want to say the overwhelm. I want to," right? So we're not immune to that at all. Our brains do the same thing. But one day, I think we had both been working out, so the juices were flowing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, "Oh, what if we called it 10K conversations? What if that was the name of the webinar?" Because
someone told me that.
Because someone told us that we had legit a reason to call our program a 10K conversation program. And it gives me chills even thinking about it, because I'm like, it really freaking changes people's lives. And that webinar, we sold like 115 seats, three cohorts back to back. It was insane. Mm-hmm. And it was really because so many people were drawn in by this thing that they really desired, more so than just like make more sales.
Right. Yeah, I guess they can immediately feel like, "Oh, this connects to me. Like, this is right. Like my mm-hmm. need. This is what'll make my life better." It gets so specific that I was like, "Oh my God, that's me. That's me right. too."
So yes, throwing this in there, because I want to give that's our cool. listener right now a call to action for you guys.
Yeah.
What I love about what you two do with your personal brands on Instagram, as well as with Guide Culture, is that you're not just telling us this stuff right now, like, you live it out with your social media presence. Everything that you're saying to us right now, you guys, like, I can just watch it like you're in a fish tank. I can, "Oh, let's go watch Macy and Kat do this stuff that they're teaching." And you're showing your results. You're showing your successes. You're giving very specific stories. You bring in people like this example with the 10K conversations. Y'all just live this stuff so well. And you've created such an attractive brand where this is why you said a minute ago, hey, you live in your DMs. You're able to live in your direct messages because your attraction piece is so phenomenal. And it is. And that being said too, Chad, it's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And so the genuine interest and the authenticity is there. Very difficult word to say sometimes, authenticity. Mm-hmm. No, y'all are authentic, and it shows. And so people are attracted to that because you're not trying to live some faux Instagram life or be fake. You're very, very real. And so you've built people's trust up. So if I were to have a conversation with you immediately, I don't feel like Macy and Kat are probably going to follow me home, right? It's not some like weird vibe. It's like, no, you've established really good rapport with those that are watching you, which I think makes it where you can have these conversations where people are like, "Nah, I'm going to give you a shot to speak into me right now," because you've proven yourself over and over and over again by just being who you are consistently, which I'm amazed by. So if you're listening to this right now, y'all need to look up Macy and Kat on Instagram. I think that's mostly where y'all hang out, right?
Actually, we spend full-time energy on the Guide Culture Instagram, full-time. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Gotcha. So they're crushing it. I see the reels. Yeah. It's fun. By the way, too, in saying this is why I like, because y'all are funny.
It's entertaining. It is.
It's like really funny, and it's good stuff. So, all right, this is the part. Every
appreciate that.
Episode we do, by the way. So we like con people. Me and Chad are really good sales from the type of salespeople you don't want to be, you know, like the manipulative. And so we get people to come on our podcast.
You're like a short sleeve shirt and a tie away from a like. I mean, I think we could, that's a whole like gig.
Dude, I sold a car on the way here. It was amazing.
I think we just figured out like our first like TikTok or whatever with you. It's going to be amazing.
I'm an unofficial Adidas model, by the way.
That's how not to sell a stronger business.
I just made that on my LinkedIn profile yesterday, by the way, unofficial Adidas model. No, here's all right. We do this. We say like, hey, we have a podcast. But really what we're doing is we're just soliciting free consulting from very phenomenal people. So thank you guys so much for giving us Guide Culture Light on this episode. Here's my question for you. This isn't me and Chad have both. We've been successful in our careers as salespeople. Like we've been able to take the products that we have and the services that we have and again, have powerful conversations where we influence people toward taking a decision that pays off for them because we're competent professionals. We know what we have to offer. We know it's good. We're not selling people, you know, like a bunch of crap. It's like, no, we're serving people well. So I want to pivot because most of our listeners are entrepreneurial folks that are in leadership positions. We have some, a lot of salespeople, but leaders. And so I need you guys to help us out from the standpoint of growing as leaders, because again, it's not necessarily selling somebody a product. It's influencing someone toward taking, you know, taking a step towards something better. And as leaders, I mean, a lot of what we do with guiding our organizations is figure out how do I need to talk to this person to get them to take the steps they need to take to succeed, so that the team succeeds, so the business succeeds. So I want to dial in on that. You guys have said to us before, like, look, when you get strong in sales, it definitely strengthens your leadership skills, your leadership leadership ability. So I'm kind of creating the floor of that. And I don't know if I got a specific question to ask other than like, give me what you got on that. Cause that's where Josh Melton can be served most right now from talking to Macy and Kat.
I am so excited to hear what Macy has to say on this, but there's something on my mind right now that where a couple of kind of questions ago, y'all were talking about just the mindset, how you can have all the tactics in the world. You can have all the, you know, things to say, the scripts in the world, but it falls flat. And why is that? And yes, there can be blood in the water and that desperation. We really believe in a model, be, do, have, be the person, be the right person, do the right things, and then you'll have what you want in life. And I think a lot of people skip the be because one, it's like unseen, it's unsexy, it's reading how to influence people. It's, you know, maybe it's going to counseling. Maybe it's, you know, getting your faith right, right? It's the inner, it truly is like the inner work, not in any specific woo-woo way, just truly growing yourself, being the authentic person who does what they say they're going to do. So the reason I say that, especially going into this, is with leadership, I think this rears its head more and more because a customer on Instagram, like they might just know your persona, right? But a person who works with you, I mean, they see your lack of follow through. They see what you say at lunch. They smell you, you know, I mean, they're like with you. And I know that there's a lot of virtual communities, but I think it's still the same. And it just comes down to like, be a leader that people want to follow first, right? Like who even like wants to work with you? Because you can hire, you can do Upwork, you can pay someone to do a task, but who really wants to follow you in your mission? Because if you're an entrepreneur, I would venture to guess you want to evolve. You probably have a few spastic ideas. You might be a little chaotic in the very best way because you love life and you love people. But who's going to follow you anywhere? And that just comes down to being the right person. So Macy is the best leader I know. And so I just want you to talk about it more because I'm done now.
Hey, can I jump in with a question for you, Macy, on this?
Because sure.
That, by the way, that was awesome.
So they good.
Do have, I love that. I want to jump into this because I think sometimes, and I think the younger version of me would definitely get hung up on this particular piece. I would, because I was under the impression that I could be a certain way and do certain things. And then as a leader, like everybody would want to follow. And what I've learned is that, no, that's not the case. I mean, the greatest leaders that we've experienced in the world, they would always have opposition. They would always have, you know, this, you can be the greatest leader ever. It doesn't mean everyone's going to follow you. So Macy, can you help walk through? So basically what Kat just said with the be and the do and the have, but also recognizing that as you're growing as a leader, like, look, you just because you're phenomenal at skills, you're a phenomenal leader, you're a phenomenal person, doesn't mean that you can steer a parked car. Doesn't mean you could, like, there's going to be people maybe following your team that maybe they're not in line with what you're doing. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So what you're asking is when people are like not aligned, like how to navigate that. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So I would feel like if again, the younger version of me definitely I was scaling up is being like, I can't get this person to move. You know, I'm trying to figure out the way to navigate and to motivate. And there's one person in particular, I think me and Chad could both think of from our past. Yeah. Like great person.
Yeah.
We just, you know, regardless of what methods we try, we may not be able to get that person steered. And it's easy. I would think back then, like, oh, this is on me. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, totally. Well, my question for you would be, did you like really know what they really wanted? Like really wanted, like not more money, right? But like, what would money like really do for them? Because if you like really knew at their core, like when you know what someone's, what we call the DBM, which is the dominant buying motive. If you know someone's DBM, like you have the key to their heart. And that is what sales is. It's like, okay, what is their key to their heart? And how does this action get them the key to their heart? And when I know, I've totally been in situations where I'm like, okay, they are not like what they're doing, what they need to be doing. The results aren't what they need to be. And if there's anything I've learned, it's just ask questions, sit with them. And honestly, when you lead with questions, they answer them themselves. Just like in sales, a lot of times if you ask questions, they can kind of like talk themselves and sell themselves into something. Same with people. And when you lead with questions, their problems like are revealed. They say them, you don't even have to. And that's when you're able to kind of take the mission and plug it into possibly what's missing for them.
So this is where just a big light bulb moment just went off for me, where you brought it all together for me, Macy.
Cool.
Because you started talking earlier when we were talking about the customer and getting specific, not vague. Now we switch gears to using sales tips to being a leader and with our team. And I just picked up on that same thing and how I have went wrong for 20 years of not being specific. I ask people, what do you want? Do you want to make more money? And they say yes. And I'm like, all right, I know how to motivate this person. I know how to lead them. Let's go make more money. Mm-mm. And here's an opportunity to make more money. Yeah. Why aren't you doing the work? Here's the money. Dangle. But you're saying, hey, you got to get more specific. You got to know what they want to use the money for.
You know, it's so crazy. We say buyers are liars because a lot of times people don't tell you the truth right off the bat, which is no big deal. That's just human nature. Like people would never say like, I want status. Right? They would never say that, but sometimes people want that and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting that, wanting recognition, wanting to be at the top, wanting their name, their face to be, but they're saying like, oh, I just want to make more money. But really what they want is something else. And that's fine. But it's your job as a leader is to see, and you can see that through their words, through their actions, through the way they carry themselves, through the questions that they ask. Sometimes people ask questions and you can just tell like, okay, they ultimately like they want to be protected. They want to be secure. They do want status. They want stability. They want recognition. And it's honestly your job as a leader to kind of draw that out. Same skills, same info gather skills, whether you're selling a product or a person. That's what's so awesome about sales skills is that they overflow into selling people or helping people buy into anything.
God, I've screwed this up so much because when I hear like, all right, I can provide opportunity. I can help somebody make money. They said they want to make more money. So I get like so focused in tunnel vision. And I'm like, don't talk to me anymore. I'm helping you make money. Like, sorry, I'm busy, like helping you make money. Yeah. And now talking this through, like, and learning these sales skills, it's like money is not really it. Mm-mm. Making more money was just,
and that's what's so cool about like the lunch. Like Kat's like, what do you talk about at lunch? And I know that people honestly would feel like eye roll, like I don't want that. But just hearing what comes out of people, you can tell what's important to them just by hearing them just talk, right? When you ride in the car with them, like, hey, let's just go to Starbucks and just see what is top of mind for them. That is information. Remember, who's in control? The one who has the information. That's to be like, oh, like they keep talking about like how they just like really want to, you know, work at the beach for a month. I don't know. They desire flexibility, or maybe they feel lonely. They desire community. They desire to feel like they're a part of something, even though they're not going to say that.
Do you guys think that people always know what they want? Does that make sense? Like,
ooh, that's a good question.
You know, honestly,
yeah. So
I don't think so.
So talk
I don't
about
even know
that.
What I want.
Well, I mean, honestly, from a standpoint of, I would say from my personal life, I would say, hey, there's been seasons of my life where I was probably unclear on what I wanted. And, you know, I think sometimes it's probably a discovery process, right? And having guided questions, I personally have invested in personal counseling, right? Which helps because they ask a bunch of questions, which is good. It helps you uncover. But I think that's one of the questions I'd ask is like for you guys, if you're talking about like leadership from the leadership angle with sales skills and whatnot, and leading your team is let's take that same scenario. Macy's like, hey, what if the person that you're talking to in Chad's instance, Chad's thinking, oh, they said they wanted money. I'm leading with money.
Right.
What if they don't know what they want? So maybe like you're saying like, hey, they're not going to say they want status, even if that's what they want. But what if they're genuinely confused? Like if this person just doesn't know, Walk me through that. Is there skills you guys say, this is what we, yeah. in that situation, if we recognize that, this is where we go.
Yeah. We call this five layers deep. And this is just in anything, honestly. But one thing you can do is, I think what typically people do is when they talk to someone, they talk about like lots of areas in life. So if someone's like, oh, I have kids, I love to fish and I, you know, love my mom. I don't know. They just like talk about all these, different areas of their life. And I think people most of the time like to cover them all, which is great. What we're saying is like, hey, pick one part of their life and go deeper instead of going wider. So if someone's like, yeah, like fishing is something I really enjoy. It's like, oh, cool. Like, tell me more about that. Why is fishing important? Is there like a specific story? Is there a specific experience you had that you really enjoyed fishing with? Well, yeah, my grandfather and I, we would go every single Sunday. You know, he was made of very few words, but the one thing he did was spend time with me. And so that was really important to me. It's like, oh, okay. Like he really wants time. He enjoys quality time. Okay. Good to know. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. Like, why is your grandfather important to you? Like just going deeper in one area instead of wider. It maybe they can't articulate it or they aren't mm-hmm. aware of it. But like I said, you're able to kind of draw that out. And it doesn't have to be like a big like moment, like, oh my gosh, you just told me like what your deepest desire. Like it doesn't need to be a moment. It is literally the walking into the office, just like one little deposit of like, wow, that's so cool. I love to hear that story about your grandfather. Like, thanks for telling me that. And it's just like noted, Chad mm-hmm. like really enjoys quality time. Okay, good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got anything, Kitty?
Yeah, I want someone to see in what Macy just described as part of the process.
Right.
Right. Like it is not, people don't want to feel like an event. They don't want to feel interrogated right. or whatever. So on the one hand, you don't want them to feel interrogated and you obviously don't want to feel creepy and it's not creepy to care. It is not creepy to care. I repeat it. It is so important and just... That's why just genuine curiosity is what's important. So if the listeners are doing any affirmations, like honestly start writing, I genuinely care about others. I'm genuinely curious about others mm-hmm. because it'll train your brain to be, hey, that's just like who I am.
Yeah.
So what I do is I ask thoughtful questions. So
yeah.
Anyway, it is just a process.
And honestly, for the listeners, like a really good quick action is just a challenge for yourself. Is the next time you're in a conversation, just like, don't say I. Just don't bring it back to you. It is so tempting. And it feels like you're relating to someone. They're like, I love mm-hmm. to fish. And you're like, oh, me too. I get it. You want to relate. You want to build rapport. But the best way to build rapport is instead of saying me too, saying, so cool. Like, tell me more. What kind of fishing do you like? Oh, do you mm-hmm. like bass fishing? Do you like spear? I don't even know fishing. But when you ask specific questions, that helps you know, oh, they know what I'm talking about. Like they relate.
They care. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kat and I will do a skit and like, we both went to UGA. Right. And so if I were to say like, hey Kat, do you park at Tate when you go to the games? That is a way to build rapport without saying, oh, I went to UGA too. Just by saying the word, hey, do you park at Tate, which is a parking deck, right? She's able to know, oh, Macy gets me. Like she knows Georgia. She knows Athens. Like we relate, but it's still focused on her. She's the queen. Her, you know, the spotlight is on her. She gets the spotlight. Like let people win. And ultimately you are more liked. You get the information. You're in control. And she'll walk away and say, dang, I really like Macy. Like, I don't even know why, but I just really like her. And it's because she got to talk about herself. Who doesn't like to talk about themselves? Everybody does. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a salesperson, you die to yourself, you surrender, you say, hey, nothing is about me anymore. I take the word I out of my vocabulary when I'm talking to people and I keep the focus on them always.
All right. So I get this strategy completely. I'm a business owner. I got 12 employees. Is this something I just organically do and have these conversations? Or do I need to have a deeper strategy inside of this of I need to do this once a week with every single person? What's mm-hmm. what once you learn how to harness this skill, what do you do with it? And how do you deploy it inside of your team?
Hey, and I want to put a caveat on this for you guys, for Chad and I both, we are both in very like performance-based businesses. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. it's such like, we talk about all the time, hey, it's results-oriented work environment here, right? Like we're not really concerned mm-hmm. about, we're not like saying like, hey, you clocked in 5 minutes late. Like sure. that's not our deal. We're saying, hey, it's just about results. And so for us, a lot of the conversations we have center around trying to help remove obstacles to help people get the results sure. that they say they want to make or that they need to make mm-hmm. to succeed in their jobs. And what we've kind of found is obviously people are different, right? Personalities are different. Some people are the extroverted people, and like we can ask them a question, they'll talk for the next 7 days. But other people are more, maybe they're an introverted people person. You have to ask a question and then let it marinate for like 37 hours before they respond. And so in navigating all those things, because again, I think going deep with one of those people versus going deep with the other, it looks a lot different and the conversation looks different. And so I think as Chad's saying that too, is like, you know, that rubric of most of his conversations are about, hey, is there a particular problem you have on this one issue you got? And also, what do we need to do to help you get to where you can perform at the level that you want to perform on or that you need to perform on? Sometimes it's we're having a conversation based on performance not being where it's at. So how do we lead people in those environments?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Listen, there's nothing more important to us around here than results. I'm right there with you. And that is the very reason your conversation should be centered around the person, not their actions or not their results. Because as I think Kat said, James Clear said this in Atomic Habits, that life leaks. Isn't that right? Is that who said it, Kat? Where who they are leaks into their work. And so when your people know that you care about them as a whole person, not the work person, because if there's not a result, like there's probably like a reason for that. And it might not be a work reason. You have no idea what's going on in someone's home. And just genuinely being like, hey, how's your heart? Like that is like one of the best questions you can ask is not, are you good? Is everything okay? You know, just like genuinely, hey, I just want to check in on you. How's your heart? How's your husband? Hey, I saw that you guys love to do game night on Saturday night. Tell me about that. Like what's so fun about it? It's so cool. I love the knowing who they are and knowing their heart is good overflows into the results. They freaking know the results need to happen. There's no doubt about that. It's it's not going to work if results don't happen, but I care about the Natty. Her name's Natalie. We call her Natty. I care about the Natty and the Court and the Cat and the Sarah. I care about them as people and their work reflects that. And Kat is the same exact way. She is so good about caring about the person more than anything.
Got to be honest with you guys. When you're saying all that stuff, I don't know if you could tell on the video or not, but Chad just broke out in hives.
He might pass out. Here's what I hear. Here's what my personality of business owner entrepreneur hears. To increase performance, you got to avoid talking about performance.
Honestly, just to make it tangible, every other month, Kat and I alternate doing one-on-ones. And we both come with answers to these questions. What would you like me to start doing? What would you like me to stop doing? And what would you like me to keep doing? So I have that for them. They have that for me. Same with Kat. And that honestly is just a container. It is a place. It helps you avoid the, hey, can you meet talks, right? And while yes, work and results might be brought up, it is really like who people are and where they are and where their heart is at. That's what that conversation is for. And I'm telling you, you walk out of those meetings, you either feel like, wow, there's a lot that's been like revealed about who I am and how I can be better. Or you walk away and you're like, dang, things are so much better than I even realized. Like, I'm so thankful for those meetings. But yeah, you talking about who they are, I swear, is more beneficial than talking about a result. Kat, what do you think?
So y'all do this monthly, it sounds like.
Every other month we do it.
Every other month.
Once a quarter's too little, once a month's too much.
Okay.
And something else that's really tangible that I think helps this whole understand the person without being like, so, you know, what's up? How's marriage?
How's your wife?
Yeah, literally.
Hey, Josh, what Kim wear today?
Gosh. On Tuesdays, we have our team meetings. And so the standard is for everyone to say one thing that's good. What's good? And sometimes that's that, you know, someone's building their home. We have one teammate building a home with her husband. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like noted, like that is something good going on in her life to ask about later. Right. So there's a reason to talk about stuff. I mean, we're like really close so that we can ask any question, but if it's like a new thing to your team, maybe start like create the culture of, you know, what's good with people. And then kind of speaking to the performance, everyone on our team is in charge of, you know, a result, like a metric. And we don't like do traditional performance reviews, I will say. But what I know is that I'm in charge of certain projects. Macy and I are in charge of sales. And so we know when sales aren't right. Do you know what I mean? And all the team, all parts of the team feel a sense of ownership over that. And I know that's not the case maybe for everybody, but it's almost like when it's an understood thing, but like a result is off, you can just work on the actions that it's going to take instead of like having that weird eye-to-eye conversation about, you know, where's the KPI? It's like, we just talked about it in the meeting. Like everybody knows that it's off and it just doesn't have to be weird. I don't know if that is helpful, but it's a way to talk about performance because it's just, it's the business. Well, it's not
they already know the performance. If somebody is not hitting the numbers they need to hit, they probably already know it, right?
So right.
Like you got to point it out because people kind of know it and everybody kind of knows it. But I think I'd ask the question on sometimes you find where, you know, you may have a team member that is an open book, right? And like, they're just like, nah, we're here. And so at some point, Macy Cat, you may ask them a question that they open up and they say, hey, I'm hung up here. This is where I'm hung up. But what if you can't get that answer?
Well, I got a question for y'all. Did y'all play sports growing up? You did. I'm sure you've had coaches that you can tell just like care about you. How much better do you perform for those coaches? How much earlier do you show up for the games for those coaches than you would someone who's just kind of like there, you know what
Slave
I mean?
Slave driver coach versus the coach who actually cares about you.
Yeah.
Like you perform better for the people that you know care about you. Right. And so to answer your question, Josh, like my dad has always said that the way kids spell love is T-I-M-E, time. And I think about that with coaches too, is like the way, you know, people, like if they're not opening up, I don't think it's a them, it's like their personality. I honestly think it's a leadership problem because it's like, they don't trust you. They don't feel cared about.
That's a great point. All right. Let me ask a question on that.
Cause you can blame a personality all day long, but that's not helpful. You wouldn't take ownership, right?
For sure. Absolutely. So I read a book. I don't remember that. You guys may have read this book. So you may be able to dial this in for me. And I tell my team a lot. It's like, hey, every time there's a problem, you got to look in the mirror and you got to ask yourself, like, what part of this problem did I create? Because if you're a part of the problem, you know, if you're involved in it, there's probably some ownership you can take. Now, if you take 100% ownership all the time, then you're not being honest with yourself. You're blaming yourself sometimes for things that can't, but you got to be able to say like, hey, I got a part in this problem. So therefore I can be part of the solution. But what I want to ask you is in regards to that, I've hired two people in the past and I'm like, this person probably from their life experience has trust issues. And so if somebody's got, like, sometimes we have something from experience that puts up a buffer for us, maybe it makes it more difficult to extend trust to somebody, or maybe there's like tight window of like, I'm not letting anybody in past this. And so I do have experience with certain people where like, you can't get in. And I can tell you for me and my experience with as a business owner, I've had people on my team that I'm like, hey, if you'd be willing to go to a personal counseling, I'll send you there. Like, I'll pay for it. And they've gone and it's been good for them. I've had, again, for me personally too, like there's been times where I went, I'm like, here's where it is, man. You can't, I know you can't tell anybody because I'm paying you money. And like, it's helped me walk through some things. But I think what I would ask you guys is I'm bringing somebody else to the table that would be considered probably an expert in business these days and finance. So Chad's another name. Dave Ramsey says in Entree Leadership, he says, hire slow and fire fast, which, you know, that's a cliche. We've all heard it before. So I think that's the question I'm asking you guys from the standpoint of sales skills, from a leadership standpoint, is, hey, when you have people who may be underperforming, which honestly, probably most of our listener base has got like, yeah, there's people on my team that I'm struggling with, realize like, does this person need to be on the team or not? Is, would you guys, because it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying like, hey, it's probably always a leadership issue if you can't get somebody to perform, or if always like you're just not being, you haven't created yourself to be trustworthy enough if they're not trusting. Because I think I'd battle back and say, I hope, walk me through that, because my natural tendency would say, I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely like 100%, like sometimes people just don't have it. There's no doubt about that. Like there, we've experienced that as well. And I mean, I don't know for sure the best thing. What I do know is not warning, but I mean, the way you think about it is like, you know, you're going down a highway and you know that like Chick-fil-A is coming because there's like 12, you know, billboards that are saying 10 miles, and then the Chick-fil-A is on the right. That's like the energy is like, hey, here's what I see. Like, and here's the direction. Like, I'm really looking to hopefully see it coming. What can I do to support you and help you get there? And then we meet again. It's like, hey, we're not quite there yet. What can I, hey, we got a little, and then it becomes kind of, not a time ticking, but like kind of, we want everyone to know what's coming, that there are no surprises at all. But as you see, like those conversations are just opportunities to encourage people, to support them. Like, we want everybody to win. We want everyone to feel so great. And sometimes it just doesn't work, and that's okay too. What's important is the buildup to either way, either they win or they don't, but that the buildup is done really well and in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've heard Dave Ramsey talk about it here, and Loy has said the same thing. He has so much experience with hiring, firing. Oh my gosh. So many stories. And it really does come down to, sometimes it's doing them a favor, right? Like your gifts aren't here. This isn't your skill. And you know, it is the most miserable thing to not be performing. It's miserable. So if there's a way for them to improve, then get them, you know, quote motivated or clear. You know, sometimes with entrepreneurs, there's so much in kind of visionary creativity stuff that sometimes people don't even know how to take action, right? You know, so there's always those issues. But if it's truly not their gifting and it just was never a good fit, then it's just do what Macy said and kind of like it comes back to questions again. Like you ask the questions and then they kind of reveal it themselves.
Yeah. It's one thing we said it was hard to get someone to like open up, you know, it's another thing that they're just like not giving results and you've done all the things and provide them with all things. Like those are two different things. But I really just believe like spending time with people and just genuinely caring about them over time, something's got to give, you know what I'm saying?
All right. So I've got a case study for you two.
Chad's fired like 400 people in his career.
And by case study, I mean, this is like the make Chad's business more successful segment of the podcast. So this is something I'm currently in the middle of right now.
Okay.
And this is where I think business gets muddy. Some of this stuff is easier to say. It gets so muddy when it gets real. I have an employee. She is underperforming. Her volume, her billables are under. Because she's a little bit not performing or overwhelmed on her workload, she's not being a team player and not picking up the pieces and all joining together when there's a challenge or us doing something together. But she's extremely trustworthy and relational. And the reason, one of the reasons she's not performing is she's just talking to everybody all the time about personal stuff. Like she talks to me about it. Other people are starting to not be able to get their work done or make mistakes because there's all this conversation and personal talk and everybody's listening. So I'm like, for the love of God, she feels understood and she feels heard, but you put you in my seat, you run my business. What do you do in this situation?
I mean, I would say when's the last time you've had a one-on-one with her? That would be my question. Cause think about it. Think about the perfect opportunity is to say, you have the opportunity to say, hey, one thing I want you to stop doing and to like cushion is like, hey, one thing I just like love about you is how much everybody loves you here, how you connect with people, how you encourage people. Like that is just the coolest thing. One thing that I think would be really helpful is if you try to just minimize that, maybe like have a period of time that from this time to this time, like we're working. And then when the clock hits a certain time, like go and be relational because that's what makes you so special. That's what makes you so great. And that's how, the value that you add, but let's like do it at this time so that people can feel really good about, you know, it's the way you, instead of saying, stop talking to people so much, right? It's like, you are such a winner.
That was what we tried to do.
Yeah. Like encouraging her is like, that obviously is like what is great about her. Honestly, like being trustworthy and relational.
It really is a great piece and what we need as an office because
awesome. We just got to harness it.
Performance based. We need somebody to be that personality and that relational part. But when it overflows, it like everybody's like, my God, this is a problem.
Right. Yeah. So that's why these one-on-ones are so good because you avoid the like, hey, meet me at 9 o'clock today, please. It's just on the calendar. And another thing about a one-on-one is so great is like you were safe to say whatever. You were safe. There's nothing you can say that's going to like tarnish our relationship. That's going to make me upset. You are safe. And so when everybody has that understanding, they already come in like not feeling vulnerable, but feeling loved, honestly. So that would be my challenge to you, Chad, is just to start getting these on the calendar. It doesn't have to be with all 12 people, but you know, the right people.
Especially if somebody's a direct report, right? So you're saying, I suck at this particular thing too with most of us staff, not all of them, but as far as in having like an intentional one-on-one, I have people on my leadership team. They're so awesome at this. I'm like, oh man, I should do that
for you. I'm like, my door's open. If you need anything, come on. Well, and like I'm here 70 hours a week.
This is a challenge sometimes for like a high performing entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Especially is that Chad and I both, we have a similar mentality for us that we're like, hey, we feel like we're more approachable than mm-hmm. people feel like that we are, right?
Right.
You guys get this too. There's probably people that go to your events. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are like the most approachable people I've met. Like, I know you, like, you know what I'm saying? I know you're approachable.
For sure. There's
people, sometimes it'll be in your audience. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's Macy and Kat. Like, they're so awesome. I don't know if I can talk to them. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I'm the same way as Chad. I'm like, hey, if you need mm-hmm. anything, come and ask me for help. But yeah. they still may feel like they're busting up my time if they try
for
to
sure.
talk. And that one-on-one would help with that. And Macy, I love mm-hmm. what you had to say too, is finding the opportunity to praise.
Oh yeah.
Just about everybody's got something that you can praise in your workforce. You can find it. If not, then you have a really bad hiring department. But Macy, you said something earlier too. I'd like for you to give us this. There were three questions mm-hmm. that you said, hey, these are three questions we ask when we're having a one-to-one. What were those mm-hmm. questions again?
Both people come with, what would you like me to stop doing? What would you like me to start doing? And what would you like me to keep doing? And this is an awesome container to be able to encourage somebody. And I tell you what, every time these are on the calendar, I see them and my initial thought is, I don't have time for this. I do not have time for this. That is my initial, yes. You know, like when you get a text from somebody, you get an initial feeling when you see their name. That is the initial thought. I'm like, and I know Kat probably might be the same way. We like to be in the office and, you know, we're not always in the office. I'm like, but while it's not urgent, it is important. And when you put important things off, they become urgent. So for example, you could avoid, see it on the calendar, push it off. And then a year later, your most important person has been unhappy for a year and you had no idea. And so now she's gone and suddenly leadership becomes really urgent because it's about to go down because all her stuff has not been picked up and all of that. And so when you put things that aren't urgent, but are important on the calendar and you are married to them, you avoid making things urgent. You avoid the person, the most important person, leaving after a year because you were able to course correct over time and support them over time.
And that's so awesome. Kat, whenever Macy said that about people, like the text message, I don't have time for this. I just know for me personally, whenever I send Chad a text message, I know that's the way that he feels.
And I just felt so understood in this podcast. I'm like, we are alike.
Yeah. And I felt misunderstood. It was Chad's fault. I blame him. I take no responsibility. Hey, as we wrap it up. Also, by the way, I love this. We know when we get people of your caliber on the podcast, we're like, hey, we got to ask you guys great questions. Mm. We also got to like battle back with you as much as we can to get like, to dig deep.
And for sure.
Y'all loved what your philosophy is and what the way you guys communicated, how to handle some tough situations. Because again, what I would tell people is this, when it comes to leadership, is like, if you sign up to be a leader, leaders have to take initiative. Leaders got to mm-hmm. do the dirty work. Leaders got to do the hard stuff. Leaders have to initiate the tough conversations. The leadership's really difficult, and really hard. And it takes some courage, right, to do the things.
Yes.
So I love how you guys empowered us with that. So as this, by the way, this is a trigger phrase for Chad that I love to use on every episode. What am I going to say?
Here comes the plane.
We're going to land a plane.
Open up the airport.
Ladies, it's Atlanta Jeez. International. We're going to land a plane. No, there's
90 still episodes in and we're still landing the thing.
I wanted to be a pilot. Okay. Max out moment. We do something every single episode because again, we believe, hey, you're building a stronger business. Like, you're working out, you're doing the hard stuff. So the max out moment is, if you could leave the audience with one piece of advice, if there's only one thing they listen to for this episode, what would it be? So Macy and Kat, what is your max out moment?
Sales skills, baby. I think most people, they either think I'm natural at sales or I'm not good at sales. I'm not a natural salesperson or I'm a natural leader. I know how to do that. You might even be listening and you're like, oh, I got that. I know how to get specific. I know how to get the right information. And I would just encourage you just to be open-handed and say, hey, there's like probably things I could get better at. And to go get like professional training, like actual training. The way you master something is you learn like the exact like training, right? The exact script, the exact framework. And then once you master it, then you can be a little bit more free and it becomes in your subconscious. And I think most people just, they kind of go based off their experience and not training. And I cannot encourage you enough to master sales skills through professional sales training. You will feel so equipped. You will have the right framework. You will have the confidence to be able to take the right information, draw the right information, and communicate in a way that actually connects with people.
Yeah. And just to follow up on the natural salesperson, I think the people who think that they're natural salespeople, really what they are is really good at talking about themselves and talking in general. And so everyone around you is like, okay, I'm glad you think so, you know? So it's really just that, like Macy said, get the help, but truly like hone your natural ability, hone your God-given gift of speaking and caring and being excited and all that kind of stuff. Just hone it for, and we, like we say, persuade for good.
That's right.
Because that's what sales skills are, life skills. Mm. So you can persuade for good.
Oh, I love that.
Boy, Chad, I just had a thought about this woman. You should send her to Guide Culture because she has a natural gift of like communicating and connecting with people. Imagine if she honed it. Imagine if she had the skills and the framework to take her natural ability, get some skill, and actually use her natural ability to move the needle. Hello, don't you want that? You want people moving the needle and get results instead of just being a busy bee in the office.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was sales skills at work. I love it.
Specific need.
I love it. Man. I think that's an awesome idea, Macy. And for all of you out there, all of you entrepreneurs, business owners listening, like, all right, I get this. I need this. I'm open-handed. What do I do now?
We got a
Here's
special
the cool
offer,
thing right around the corner.
Yeah.
Y'all are doing the spring enrollment for Guide Culture. You've got an awesome resource for everybody. Tell us about where to go to enroll. What do you got for them? What are you going to give them for free?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So something that is really awesome is something we offer is called Follow Up Flow. You know, most of the time people just lack the follow through, especially as a salesperson. You're like this and this and this, got to go. And the follow up can fall through the cracks. So when really strong system of knowing, and we've been talking about selling to the masses, realizing the people that are raising their hands, right? They're not just saying, hey, I would like to buy Guide Culture. They're giving you buying signals that aren't obvious buying signals. Maybe they just, hey, how long is Guide Culture? How many hours is it going to take? Hey, what are you learning? Those are all buying signals. So being able to pick them out, pick out the people who are kind of low key raising their hand, putting them in a system to be able to follow up with them. In fact, we had a launch where we did, listen to this. Okay. We did a webinar for thousands of people and it went well. And we had about half of our cohort filled up. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do to fill up the rest? Like, we don't stop. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what? We're going to take the leads that we've talked to and we're just going to follow up with them. Right. Turns out by following up with them, we did over $200,000 just by following up. That's it. The webinar did like 138,000, but the follow-ups did 200,000. That just proves that people want to be talked to. They want to be connected and they need help buying. And so the follow-up flow is the system that we were able to do that with. So you can have that. It's typically only $7, but you're going to get it for free. Use the code I love sales because we are believing that we are salespeople and we love it. We live for it. So everyone just say that affirmation and type it in your code. I love sales. And then the Guide Culture training is open. By the time this podcast comes live, hopefully there are still some spots left. It typically fills up pretty quick, but it's an 8-week program. What's really special about Guide Culture is not just the program itself, but the labs. In fact, when I was first learning the training myself, I would come into my dad's office, which is this right here that I'm sitting in, and he would make me practice. I'd learn a little bit and he'd make me practice. I'd learn a little bit and then I'd practice. And then I'd go into the world and I'd practice some more. And it'd just be little deposits over time. And when I came to him and I said, hey, I want to take this to market. Will you help me? He said, under one condition, that people have the container, have the ability to practice. And that's what is so special about Guide Culture. Of course, the material, the framework works really well. It's 30 years proven, it's timeless, but your chance to sit in a safe place to be coached. I mean, you can do the same thing over and over and over, but be doing it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So getting coached, being redirected and corrected so that you can feel so confident to use your skills in the real world and know you're using them well. Not to mention, this is a group of about 7 people, but you have the chance to literally sell your product over 8 weeks to a group of 7 people that are probably interested. I can't tell you how many people are literally selling their product to the people in their lab group and getting new customers just from being in Guide Culture. It is the coolest thing to watch. So come into Guide Culture, buy in, give it your all, get into a lab and get excited about your chance to get reps in so that you can feel so good about the skills that you've learned.
Absolutely amazing. Guys, sales skills are life skills. Guide Culture is a great place to develop more skills to make your life better and your business stronger. So Kat and Macy, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
All right. And until next time, guys. Yeah. Hit them up on Instagram at The Guide Culture, website, guideculture.co. Y'all go follow Macy and Kat. They put awesome stuff out. And until next time, grow stronger.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Stronger Business Podcast, then leave us a review and share it with a friend. You can find us online at strongerbusiness.com or check us out on Instagram or Facebook at Stronger Business. We look forward to hearing from you and have a great 2022.
Did you say kitten or
kitty?
Oh, she's kitty. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Macy and Kat sounds really good together too, by the way. Right. I feel like it's like a TV show or something I'm watching.